Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this 23rd day of February, 2019. Welcome to those joining us on the phone, those listening to the recording, those joining us on WLMR Radio. I'm glad to have you with us on this wonderful and beautiful Sabbath day. It's always a great Sabbath day when the Lord is dwelling with us and we're also in fellowship with his followers. So welcome, dear ones. And before we have our opening song, I came across a statement that was from history, and it struck me quite favorably to sharing it with you. And so let me bring that section up here. We've been talking about how history repeats in Desire of Ages. And you can find that in Ecclesiastes 3:15. It says, that which hath been is now. In other words, that which has already occurred is taking place now. And that which is to be hath already been, or the future, can be recognized by what's already taken place in history. And God requireth that which is past. And that came to mind when I came across this historical reference. And this is from the days of Constantine, when he was still Pontifex Maximus, or the pagan ruler of Rome. And he makes this decree. And he says, hear ye all who have embraced heresies of your own. Now, he's Pontifex Maximus. He's the pagan ruler of Rome. But here he's dealing with religious issues. So it's clearly church and state united. He says, hear ye all who have embraced heresies of your own, O ye enemies of truth, ye adversaries of life, ye counselors of destruction, inasmuch as it is no longer possible to endure the pest of your destructiveness, we make proclamation by this edict that no one of you venture to take part in your wanted assemblies, such as what we're doing today. To this end, we command all your edifices, or your buildings, your houses, wherein ye hold your meetings, to be confiscated. And this determination of ours proceeds to such a length that we forbid not only your public assemblages, but your private gatherings, whether they be in houses or in any other place in your possession. So this is the state making this decree in religious issues. Continuing. As many of you as seek a true and spiritual worship, do ye come to the Catholic Church and obtain communion with its holiness, and to the Catholic Church we have directed your chapels, in other words, your churches, if chapels they can be called, to be delivered without delay. So in other words, the people then that had churches that they were gathering for worship, these churches were to be turned over to the Catholic Church. Continuing. And all other places to you belonging, we have commanded to be appropriated to the public treasury. So here we have history where the state has declared the Catholic Church to be the true church, and any public gatherings, any unlawful meetings were to cease, and whatever possessions the people had were to be turned over to the Catholic Church and to the public treasury. So this is history of what took place in the 4th century, in the 300s. And as history repeats, it can occur again. In fact, it's already occurring in the Adventist church, because there's been churches that have been erected by Adventist members on their own property, built with their own money. And the Adventist church has demanded that the title be turned over to them because it bears the Seventh-day Adventist name. So we see part of that history already repeating. But there's also a prophecy from Ellen White that this very history would repeat itself. And let me share that with you. This is from Testimonies, Volume 1, page 578. She writes, "That night I dreamed that I was in Battle Creek, and at that time it was the General Conference headquarters. Looking out from the side glass at the door, I saw a company marching up to the house, two and two. They looked stern and determined. I knew them well." So here Ellen White is dreaming that she's at the General Conference headquarters, or within Battle Creek, and she sees people coming up to her doorway with a very determined manner, and she knew them. So in other words, they're Adventist brethren. Continuing. "I knew them well and turned to open the parlor door to receive them, but thought I would look again. The scene was changed. The company now presented the appearance of a Catholic procession. One bore in his hand a cross, another a reed, and as they approached, the one carrying a reed made a circle around the house, saying three times, 'This house is proscribed. The goods must be confiscated. They have spoken against our holy order.'" So just like with Constantine. "Terror seized me, and I ran through the house out the north door and found myself in the midst of a company, some of whom I knew, but I dared not speak a word to them for fear of being betrayed. I tried to seek a retired spot where I might weep and pray without meeting eager, inquisitive eyes wherever I turned. I repeated frequently, 'If I could only understand this, if they will tell me what I have said or what I have done.' I wept and prayed much as I saw our goods confiscated. I tried to read sympathy or pity for me in the looks of those around me and marked the countenances of several whom I thought would speak to me and comfort me if they did not fear that they would be observed by others. I made one attempt to escape from the crowd, but seeing that I was watched, I concealed my intentions. I commenced weeping aloud and saying, 'If they would only tell me what I have done or what I have said.' My husband, who was sleeping in a bed in the same room, heard me weeping aloud and awoke me. My pillow was wet with tears, and a sad depression of spirits was upon me." So here we've seen in history what occurred. Anyone who spoke against the church and state religion had their possessions confiscated, their home churches or their chapels taken away from them, left destitute. And here we see that Ellen White had a vision of the very same thing occurring by brethren she knew. So we're truly living on borrowed time. Soon the state is going to unite with the church and the church with the state. There's going to be a state religion that is approved, and anyone who speaks against it, anyone who worships outside of it, are going to have their possessions confiscated, their churches turned over to the church, their property given to the public treasury, and they left destitute. So we know it's coming. We can see the future. So what we do now, we must do quickly. God requires tithes and offerings and gifts to further his work and to spread the truth. Those that are paying tithes, praise God. Those that are withholding tithes, there's a curse that's placed upon you. If you don't know who to support, pray to God and he'll lead and guide you who to support. Those that are feeding you the word of God are worthy of support. If you're being convicted that because you haven't paid tithe in the past that you need to do so now, then make restitution. God will help you and blessings attend you following his will, especially in giving tithes and offerings. Malachi 3 is very clear. The post office here in America has just raised their prices for sending overseas. You would be amazed at how much it costs now. We mailed a package of 5 to 9 booklets, so probably 6 ounces, 7 ounces, less than a pound. It costs $24.50 for 6 ounces going overseas. I imagine it's going to be even more in the near future. So, dear ones, be faithful in your tithes and offerings, and God will surely bless you. And you know that you have a part to play in furthering God's cause. So history is going to repeat. We've seen what's taken place in the past. It's been prophesied to reoccur, and it's becoming more and more stringent today. So history does indeed repeat. Our opening song is How Far From Home. We haven't sung this song before, and I'm sure you'll recognize the tune to this one. It's quite a catchy tune, quite energetic. How Far From Home. How far from home I asked on, I bent my steps, the watchman spake, the long dark night is almost gone, the morning soon will break. Then weep no more, but speed thy flight, with hope's bright star, the guiding ray, till thou shalt reach the realms of light in everlasting day. I asked the warrior on the field, this was his soul-inspiring song, with courage bold and sword I wield, the battle is not long. Then weep no more, but well endure the conflict till thy work is done. For this we know the prize is sure.
when victory is won.
I asked again, or sea and sun seemed with one voice to make reply. Time's wasting sands are nearly run. Eternity is nigh. Then weep no more with warning tones. Portentous sights are thickening round. The whole creation waiting groans to hear the trumpet sound. Not far from home, O blessed thought, the traveler's lonely heart to cheer, which oft a healing balm has brought and dried the mourner's tear. Then weep no more, since we shall meet where weary footsteps never roam. Our trials past, our joys complete, safe in our Father's home. So, dear ones, we're not far from home. And even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're almost there. Indeed, live up to all the light of truth that has been revealed. Cling to the Lord Jesus, because he's coming to take us home. And this particular hymn was written by Annie Smith way back in 1860s or 70s, somewhere in there. But it's still pertinent today. Jesus is coming again. Well, now it's time for opening prayer before we get into our sermon for today. And who would like to offer that prayer for us? And please go right ahead.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts and come before our Godhead, our righteous and heavenly Father, as we come to give you all honor and praises, Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for bringing us safely through the week. Thank you for having mercy upon our lives and our going and our coming in. Thank you for giving us the ability to continuously, openly, and freely take part of your daily bread, because we know that there are going to come a time where we can neither buy nor sell. But I pray that these words that we are learning, dear Father God, are not falling upon deaf ears, on deaf hearts and minds. May these words be planted deep into our heart soil. And may we go ahead, dear Father God, and not just be listeners, but to search out your words so that we can become doers of your words. And may we also use those words to be light, a light around whom we may come in contact with, dear Father God. We will want the ability to be able to water and be watered, dear Father God. I pray, dear Father, that you forgive us for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings, anything that we have done in this body, known or unknown, conscious or unconscious, dear Father. I pray for all the brethren that are here today, each one of our individual household. I pray, Lord, that you continue to be the head of our household, our home church, dear Father. Lord, I pray that you be with those that are not here today, those that are sick and shut in, those that are traveling, dear Father God, those that are mourning for loved ones lost, dear Father, those that are having a spiritual malady, a financial malady, an emotional malady, a physical malady, a spiritual malady, dear Father. I pray that you will be a physician and healer to us all. You know each and every one of our situations. You have already made a way for each and every one of us. We thank you and we love you. We pray, dear Father God, that the words that we're about to hear from dear Elder Rob, dear Father God, will be some that we will continue to investigate, and I hope that we learn how we can take the next step in order to continue into the journey to your kingdom. We thank you so much again, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Mama.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And this is a part six to What is the Mark and the Image of the Beast? And this is our final part, the very last in the series. And last time in part five, we learned what the difference was between the mark or seal of God versus the mark or seal of the beast. And we saw that the mark or stamp or sign or seal or badge of God's authority and power is his making the seventh day of the week or Saturday to be his holy Sabbath worship day. While the mark or sign or stamp or seal or badge of the beast's authority and power is the Roman Catholic Church making the first day of the week or Sunday to be their worship day. And we also understood that receiving this symbolic mark of the beast in our forehead would signify that we mentally accept the mark. Or in other words, we actually believe that the Roman Catholic Church has the authority to change God's Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday. And then we've chosen to bow to and obey the church's authoritative command to keep Sunday as the Sabbath. While receiving this symbolic mark in our right hand, it would signify willing service for the mark. Or in other words, even though we don't believe that the Catholic Church has authority to change God's Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday, or perhaps we don't even believe in a worship day at all, yet we still choose to bow and obey the church's authoritative command to keep Sunday as the Sabbath anyway. So this clearly reveals that the mark of the beast is not a literal mark. It's not a laser mark. It's not a credit card or an implanted chip. And it's not a national identification number or a giant computer or any other literal thing. Now, all of the above things might be used to try and coerce and force people to receiving the mark, but none of these things are the mark of the beast itself. But the mark of the beast is a symbolic mark because you've chosen to bow down to and obey the Roman Catholic Church's command for you to worship only on Sunday when you know that Sunday is not God's Sabbath, and then you choose to worship on Sunday anyways. So that's what the mark of the beast is. And we also know how it's received, by keeping Sunday holy when you know that Sunday is not God's Sabbath. So since we know who the beast is, who the mark of the beast is, and how we receive the mark of the beast, then what is the image of the beast? And this is what we're going to discover today in this sermon. Now, for those that would like to follow along with the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID167.htm. So what is the image of the beast? And if you look at quote number one, we've already read earlier the verses that talk about this image of the beast. But let's go back over these verses again so that you catch the import. In Revelation 13, verses 14 to 15, it states, "And the lamb-like beast deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. In Revelation 14, verses 9 to 12. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. In Revelation 15:2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. In Revelation 16:2, and the first angel with plagues went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. In Revelation 19:20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And finally in Revelation 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now these verses are very solemn and powerful warnings from God to all mankind, especially to God's followers. And God clearly and unmistakably declares that if any choose to connect themselves with or to worship the image of the beast, then they will be deceived, lost, and will suffer God's judgment and wrath. They'll receive the plagues, will be tormented, and eventually burned up in the lake of fire. But if any choose to remain completely separate from and refuses to worship this image of the beast, because they patiently resist all coercive and forceful efforts towards being connected with the image, and they obey God and keep his commandments through the faith of Jesus, then they will receive salvation, will be in heaven and on the sea of glass, singing praises to God, and will live in his presence and reign with the Lord God Jesus Christ forever. So all these verses plainly reveal that the subject of this image of the beast deals with our salvation. And if we should willingly connect ourselves with the image or worship it, then we will not be saved, but forever lost. So it's extremely important for us and all those who desire to follow God and obey his will that we have a clear understanding of exactly what the image of the beast is. In order to avoid being destroyed, we must know who the image is. Now, if you look at quote number 2, there's an ever-growing confusion and misunderstanding over the identification of the image of the beast. The vast majority of Christians in the Protestant and evangelical ranks believe that the image of the beast is Satan himself, or that he's the Antichrist or some other being. And many in our separated ranks believe that the image of the beast is the Sunday law. But what exactly is this image of the beast? When you look up the word image in Greek, the word is icon, and this word translates and means a likeness, representation, resemblance, image. And this is from Strong's word number 1504. So then this image of the beast is a likeness or a representation or a resemblance or an image of the beast. So this means that the image of the beast is not the beast itself, but is another entity that resembles the beast. And we learned last time that this beast represents the Roman Catholic Church. So then this means that the beast, being the Catholic Church, is not the image, but that the image is a representation of the beast. In other words, it's another religious group that closely resembles Roman Catholicism. So the beast is the Roman Catholic Church, and the image would be another religious body that closely resembles Catholicism. So then who or what closely resembles Catholicism? Who or what represents this image of the beast? And if you look at quote number 3, in order to know who the image is, we must first identify who the lamb-like beast is, because it is this particular beast that gives life to the image. And in Revelation 13, verses 11 and 12, it talks about the lamb-like beast. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So there's some identificating factors that deal with the lamb-like beast, that we can use these identification events to try and determine who the lamb-like beast is. And the first of these was that this beast is seen coming up, or in other words, is seen rising to power around the period of time when the Roman Catholic Church received her deadly wound. And we know that the church received her deadly wound in 1798. In fact, John Wesley writes in the year 1754 this particular note on Revelation 13:11 about the lamb-like beast, and he states this: he is not yet come, though he cannot be far off, for he is to appear at the end of the 42 months of the first beast. And this was from Explanatory Notes upon the New Testament, Volume 3, page 299, by John Wesley. So this beast is seen coming up, or in other words, rising to power, around the time when Catholicism receives its deadly wound. Now, the second thing is that this beast is also arising out of the earth and not out of the sea. And we learned earlier that the sea prophetically represents nations, multitudes, tongues, and people, which is Revelation 17:15. So then the earth would prophetically represent just the opposite of the sea. Instead of it being among populated areas, it would instead mean that it would arise in sparsely populated land without established nations, multitudes, tongues, and peoples. So this lamb-like beast arises from among territory that was not already populated with nations and multitudes, and thus was depicted arising out of the earth. Now, which nation was seen arising to power from territory that was not abundantly populated in 1798? And when you do some examination, some historical searching, you'll discover that there was only one national power that could possibly fit this description of the lamb-like beast, and that is the United States of America. The United States was the only great world power coming into prominence around the year 1798 and arising from territory that was not previously occupied by multitudes, peoples, tongues, and nations. So as the United States is this lamb-like beast, then what would represent the two horns like a lamb that's upon this beast? And in Bible prophecy, horns symbolize the ruling power of a nation. And the ruling power of the United States is its two main foundational principles of republicanism and Protestantism. Republicanism means freedom from despotic and arbitrary rules of kings and emperors of Europe, and allowing its citizens to control their own government. That's the principles of republicanism. The principles of Protestantism is being free to follow what you believe to be true in any religious matter, without any threat, intimidation, or persecution by the Roman Catholic Church or any other denominational or civil power. So that's the principles of Protestantism. And so the United States, with its civil government and powers based upon principles of republicanism and Protestantism, at least in the beginning, represents this lamb-like beast. But prophecy depicts that this beast does not remain lamb-like or peaceful forever, because it's prophesied that the United States, or the lamb-like beast, will speak with the voice of a dragon and will exercise all the power of the first beast, or Roman Catholicism. So then how does a nation speak? How would the United States speak? And the United States or any other nation speaks through its decrees and legislative enactments. In other words, the law that it makes. So then this shows us that there would come a time in which the United States government would act on the principles of the dragon, which we know to be Satan, and would no longer remain lamb-like. The United States would no longer allow the freedom to follow what you believe to be true in any religious matter without threat, intimidation, or persecution. And thus they would begin to exercise all the power of the Roman Catholic Church before her. They would begin to speak with the voice of the dragon. And what was this power of Catholicism? The elimination of the freedom of conscience in all religious matters. That was the purpose of Catholicism, to drive out all dissent, all controversy against her beliefs, all freedom of choice. And 1,260 years of this type of power in Catholicism is enough to show from history what the Catholic Church has done and what is prophesied for the lamb-like beast to do. Elimination of the principles of republicanism and Protestantism. Now, if you look at quote number 4, Now, immediately after the United States begins to speak with the voice of the dragon, what does it command? What does prophecy state the United States would do? The United States commands that an image of the beast would be formed and then given life. So then who could represent this image of the beast? This image of Catholicism within the United States. Now, Roman Catholicism is a religious body that is united with and uses the civil power of the nation she controls to enforce her decrees and dogmas upon the people. So then the image of this beast would be another religious body that's clothed with similar power. And the greatest religious power within the United States are the various Protestant churches. So then this image of the beast would have to be a Protestant religious power united with and using the civil power of the United States to force obedience of all peoples to the rules and commands of the church. So that's what the image is. Another religious body. In this case, the Protestant religious body following in the footsteps of Catholicism or imaging the history of the Catholic Church. But as long as the Protestant peoples remain separate from one another, they're not powerful enough to influence and control the United States government. But if they should unite together, then they would wield massive influence and power. So then, when the Protestant churches of America waive their differences in doctrinal beliefs and unite upon the same common points of faith, and then unitedly shall call upon and influence the United States civil government to enforce their religious rules and commands, then these churches of Protestantism have formed themselves into an image resembling the beast of Catholicism. So this clearly shows us that the image of the beast is not Satan. It's not the Antichrist. It's not the Sunday law. But the image of the beast is another religious body that's made up of the various Protestant churches who have united together and chosen to follow in the footsteps of the Roman Catholic Church. So the beast is Roman Catholicism. The lamb-like beast is the United States of America. And the image of the beast are the United Protestant churches. But why is this so important for us to know? The Bible tells us that it's just after the image of the beast is formed that every person in the world will be forced to worship them by bowing down to the authority of the beast of Roman Catholicism, as well as the image of the beast of Protestantism, in keeping Sunday holy and receiving the mark of the beast. If anyone refuses to receive the mark of the beast to worship on Sunday, then they will not be able to do any financial transactions, and they will also be targeted for death. Everything will be confiscated from them. In quote number 5 from Revelation 13, verses 15 to 17, "And he, or the lamb-like beast, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." So, dear ones, what would you decide to do when you're forced to bow to the beast of Rome or to the image of the beast? What would you do? Would you choose to stand firmly for God and refuse to obey every effort that's made to entice, coerce, or intimidate you to give in? Would you decide to stand firmly for God when you're forced to worship the authoritative commands of Catholicism or Protestantism and receive the mark of the beast? Would you pass this great test of loyalty to God regardless of the cost, even though you lose everything that this world has to offer, including your house, food, clothes, friends, loved ones, property, and all other modern conveniences? Would you still choose to stand firmly for God if you had everything removed from you and you were out on the street, alone? If so, then God will seal you as his prized possession and grant you eternal life because you've passed your test of loyalty to him and you have not received the mark of the beast. If you fail this great test, you will be lost forever. So this clearly shows us that this image of the beast must be formed before probation can close, because it's the great test that the people of God must have before they can be sealed for God. The great test is on the image. Will you worship the image? Or will you worship only God? Look at quote number 6. So all the different apostate churches of Protestantism, whose leaders have formed their church organization into an image or a replica of Romanism, and who unite together, make up this image of the beast. And this great test for the people of God will be upon these different churches of Protestantism, which image Roman Catholicism. So then, as this is true, then if I were to be a member of one of these United Apostate Protestant churches whose leaders had formed my church into an image of Catholicism, then upon whom would my great test be centered upon? Would my great salvational test be centered on another Protestant church that I was not a member in? And the answer is no, because that wouldn't be a very great test for me. My affections and emotions would not be tied to that other church, and it would not be tied to following its leadership. And I would not listen to or follow their commands anyways, because they're not part of my church. So you can see that your great test would be centered on your own church. Your eternal destiny would be decided upon whether you followed the rules and commands of your church and its leadership. Whether you would decide to follow them out of respect or because you've been taught to obey their authority and follow their rules and commands as the authority of the God of heaven. Your great test would be decided upon whether you would remain a part of your corrupt church system, obeying their commands and teachings above God's commands and teachings, being one with and of them, or whether you would show yourself completely distinct from your corrupt church system, refusing to obey their commands and false teachings, and instead united with God and obeying His commands and teachings. Your eternal destiny would be decided on whom you worship more, your church or your God. So it's true, the Sunday law is going to be a big test for God's people, but it's not the great test of the image of the beast that determines your destiny. And multitudes of Adventists, and I dare say even among our separated people, are being led astray into believing that the image of Catholicism is something other than it really is, something other than the apostate Protestant churches who've united together and formed themselves into a replica or an image of the Roman Catholic Church. So if you believe the image of the beast is the Sunday law, then you're going to fail your test, because the image of the beast is your Protestant church. If you obey your Protestant church leaders, then you'll go right along and worship on Sunday. And you failed your test. So then what are some of these Protestant churches that can make up this image of the beast? Some of these churches of Protestantism are the Episcopal Church, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, Nazarenes, Methodists, Baptists, Evangelical, Mormon, Full Gospel Businessmen, Jehovah's Witnesses, and etc. What about the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Is it a Protestant church? Most definitely. In fact, they're one of the biggest Protestant churches at all, of all. They were one of the greatest protesters against the Catholic Church in the 19th century. So they're definitely a Protestant church. So of all these different Protestant churches, have any of them rejected the light and truth of God and chosen darkness and apostasy instead, following in the footsteps of Roman Catholicism? And the answer is yes. Which ones have chosen to apostatize? All of them, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church. In Revelation 18, verse 3, we're told, all nations, and this just doesn't refer to literal nations like Japan and China and the United States, but it refers to denominations, churches. All nations or denominations have drunk of the wine, false doctrines, of the wrath of her, Babylon's, fornication. So all the various Protestant churches, including the Adventist Church, have chosen to follow in the footsteps of Rome and given up God's truth. And for those Adventists who may doubt that the Adventist Church has already given up the light of the truth of God and chosen darkness and apostasy instead, I encourage you to examine what the Adventist Church of today teaches about the truths contained in the three angels' messages, and then compare what you find that the church teaches today with what was originally believed by them in the past. And if you honestly do so, you will see without a doubt that there's a wide difference between what the church believes today versus what it originally believed in the past on the three angels' messages. And there's already been put together such a comparison between the difference of the Adventist Church today versus what they believed in the past. And this study is called The Transmutation of the Three Angels. And you can freely read and download this study from off our website at lightministries.com/SDA/booklets/id119.htm. And for those that would like to see a year-by-year expose on how the church gradually went from following the original foundational truths of Adventism into now apostatizing from God and becoming like the other Protestant churches around her, then you can also freely read, study, and download this booklet, or this book actually, on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/books/id94.htm. And that book's called The Abomination of Desolation in Church History. And if you'd like to see a list that just goes over the year by year apostate actions of the Adventist Church, you can find this list on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1217.htm. So the beast represents Roman Catholicism. The lamb-like beast represents the United States of America, and the image of the beast represents the apostate Protestant churches that unite together in apostasy. So since all the Protestant churches, which now include the Adventist Church, are seen to have rejected the light of the truth of God and chosen darkness and apostasy instead, are these churches waiving their doctrinal differences so that they can unite together upon a common platform of belief? And the answer is yes. And for decades now, they've been doing that. The National Council of Churches is an organization that used to be known as the Federal Council of Churches and was organized in December 1908 and then changed its name to the National Council of Churches in 1950. The National Council is made up of various member churches within the United States of America, including those who are members of the National Council of Churches ministerial associations in various communities. And the goal of this National Council is to unite all the religions in the United States into one ecumenical package. In other words, into one group. And to do this, they have to waive their conflicting doctrines and focus only on those beliefs that they hold in common. And of course, most all of the church members in the National Council are Protestant. And here are some of the Protestant denominations who are listed as members within the National Council of Churches. And you can see the long list there. And it also includes the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And this list was composed from a letter of the National Council of Churches of Christ, dated January 13, 1965. And this letter was written from Wilbur C. Perry, which is the Associate General Secretary of that time. And the list was also composed from the Directory of Christian Councils, published by the World Council of Churches in 1985. So here we see that these apostate Protestant churches are already uniting together upon a common platform of belief. which means that the image of the beast is already being formed. And as we saw, this image of the beast includes the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because they have indeed joined with and are united with and are members of the World Council of Churches. And in fact, this union of the Adventist Church with these other apostate Protestant churches is clearly revealed in the Adventist book titled What I Like About the Lutherans, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Charismatics, the Catholics, Our Jewish Friends, the Adventists, Rescuers of Neglected Truth by George Vandeman, and published by the Pacific Press in 1986. And it was also the missionary book for the year 1987. And in this book on page 3, you'll read the following. The book you hold in your hand is the birth of an idea whose time has come. And what particular idea does this book bring out? The Adventist Church can say that they, like all these other apostate Protestant denominations, for two reasons. First, on page 51 of the book, the Adventist Church states that we want to build bridges with these other churches because we are all God's family together, which is page 83. And the second reason is that the Adventist Church agrees with and is teaching the very same false doctrines as these other Protestant churches are, or they could not be united together with them in the National Council of Churches. So since all these Protestant churches, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, have rejected the light and truth of God and chosen darkness and apostasy instead, and they're all united together on a common platform of belief, then they have already formed themselves into an image of the beast of Catholicism. So then this means that the great test for most all Christians will be centered upon the image of the beast, which is their very own church denomination. So then the eternal destiny for all Episcopals, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Nazarenes, Methodists, Baptists, Evangelicals, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Full Gospel Businessmen, Seventh-day Adventists, and any other Protestant church member would be decided upon whether they would follow the rules and commands of their own apostate church and its leadership, whom they've been taught to respect and obey as the voice of God to them, or whether they will disobey their church and instead follow the rules and commands and authority of the God of heaven. Their great test will be decided upon whether they choose to remain a part of their corrupt church system, obeying their commands and teachings above God, being one with and of them, or whether they will show themselves completely separate and distinct from their corrupt church, refusing to obey their commands and false teachings, and instead united with God and obeying His commands. Their eternal destiny would be decided on whom they worshiped more, their church or the God of heaven. And this decision must be fully made before they can receive either the seal of God or the mark of the beast. But while the Sunday law is indeed a big, great test, yet the test on the image of the beast is greater. Fail the test on the image, and you will easily go along with the mark and lose salvation. That's why the fourth angel's message of Revelation 18 proclaims that all the churches are Babylon fallen, and you must come out of them all in order to be saved. And this message is so tremendously important to understand and follow because your destiny is at stake. all who decidedly refuse to obey the loud cry and instead remain connected with their apostate Babylonian church will fail their test on the image and will receive the mark of the beast in their forehead or in their right hand and will be forever lost. But those who obey the loud cry message and separate from their apostate Babylonian church will be in a much better position to pass their great test on not worshiping the beast or its image and refusing the mark. And if they do so, they will then be able to be sealed with the seal of the living God in their forehead to be forever saved. So what is the beast of Revelation 13, 1 to 8, the leopard-like beast? What have we learned? The leopard-like beast is the Roman Catholic Church. What is the mark of this beast of Catholicism? The mark of the beast is a symbolic mark of the Catholic Church's authority and power to change the original day of worshiping God from Saturday to Sunday. If you obey the command of the Roman Catholic Church to keep Sunday holy, when you're convicted that God's Sabbath day is Saturday, then you receive this symbolic mark of the beast and will be destroyed in the lake of fire. But if you refuse to obey their command and instead obey the command of the God of heaven and keep holy only his seventh-day Sabbath on Saturday, sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, then you will receive God's seal and will gain eternal life in Jesus Christ. So the beast is Roman Catholicism. The mark of the beast is keeping Sunday holy when you know that Saturday is God's Sabbath. What is the lamb-like beast? The lamb-like beast is the United States of America. What is the image of the beast? The image of the beast is all the different apostate churches of Protestantism whose leaders have formed their church and its organization into a replica of Catholicism, an image of the beast. And the great salvational test for all members of these apostate Protestant churches will be based upon whether they will obey the rules, commands, and authority of their own church and leadership, thus worshiping them, or whether they will refuse to obey their church leaders and instead obey the rules, commands, and authority of the God of heaven, thus worshiping him. And this especially includes the Seventh-day Adventist people. Will they obey their apostate leaders, or will they leave the apostate church and worship God only? So that's the image of the beast. And in closing, if you look at quote number 10, we're again told in Revelation 14, 9 to 12, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, Roman Catholicism, and his image, apostate Protestantism, and receive his mark, Sunday worship, in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Dear ones, may God help each one of us to clearly understand these important salvational issues and truths so that we will not fail our great test upon these, but may through the grace and strength of God pass our great test, receive the seal of God, and then forevermore be with our Godhead. And may God also help us to share these salvational truths with others, so that these can clearly understand what the truth is, and also recognize that they have the precious choice to not fail their great test, but may also pass it so that they too can be forever with their Godhead and the rest of the redeemed for eternity. And this is my prayer. And praise God for His word of truth, for His Bible, for the scriptures of inspiration that clearly reveal to us what is facing us and what decisions we have to make, and for Jesus granting us the grace and strength and courage to stand for Him regardless of the cost. Are you truly determined to stand for God no matter what you have to forsake for Him? Is the truth so precious to you that you would be willing to lose your home, property, animals, cars, jobs, friends, loved ones, not able to access your bank account, not able to buy or sell or even barter for food and clothing, shelter? Are you willing to give up everything except Jesus Christ, the truth, the Word of God? May we choose to stand for God, even if we lose our lives, just like the three Hebrew worthies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, decided, because history is being repeated. And again, praise God for His word and the power to live it. And praise Christ for His promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us, world without end. Amen. So are you ready, dear ones? And I pray that each day you will be more and more ready. Our closing song is titled Ancient Words, God's Scriptures. And again, praise God for His sacred word of life. Scripture words long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let these ancient words impart. Scripture words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let these ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, Bible words will guide us home. Scripture words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let these ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Scripture words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let these ancient words impart. And again, where the word of a king is, where the words of Christ are, there is the power to obey. Shall we pray? Precious Father, we thank you for sending the truth down to us, for sending Jesus, your Son, to bring us the words of life, the words of hope, the words of comfort, the truth. And thank you, Savior, for continuing to be with us, even today, through the Holy Spirit. Spirit, continue to lead and guide us to the truth, to Jesus. Continue to open our understanding to where we're not following the truth, where we've been rebellious against it. And please convict and convert us on the truth, that we may indeed allow these words of the King to work within us, a transformation, changing us, that we may become more and more like our Savior in character, like our God in life. Thank you for not leaving us in darkness, but giving us these ancient words written down in our own language and readily available to us. Help us not to take these inspired words for granted and just leave the book sitting on the shelf or on our bedside, and not spend time each day in seeking to learn the truth for ourselves. We don't want the word of life kept apart from our hearts. We want to allow the Savior in to live with us. We want to eat of the bread of life, and not let it stand apart from us. So please impress upon us to set time aside each day to spend eating this precious word of life and allowing it to nourish us, that we may grow more and more into the image of our Savior, and the truth become more and more fixed and immovable within. For we want that seal of the Most High upon our foreheads. We don't want the mark of the beast. We want the seal of the living God. So indeed, fix the truth in our hearts and write it there, dear Spirit. Let our feet be immovably fixed and planted, cemented on the rock Christ Jesus. And please help us to get ourselves prepared to stand for thee come what may. That when those around us, including friends and loved ones, fellow brethren and sisters, may give way and receive the mark of the beast. Help us instead to stand firm and declare that we love thy law more than gold, more than the most precious item the world can offer us. We love the truth because it's our Savior and we are his. And thank you for helping us get prepared each day, especially by being faithful in the little things. Praise your name for your holy word, for the warnings and admonitions, for the promises and the blessings, and for the power to become the sons of God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So that is what the mark of the beast is and what the image of the beast is. And again, praise God for his word of life. Are there any thoughts, any questions, any comments, testimonies? Anything that you'd like to share, dear ones, please go right ahead.
What a solemn presentation. I'm speechless, but I'm not worried because I know that God is with me and we have nothing to fear when God is with us.
Amen. Amen. And go ahead, Sister Dixie.
Yes, I was reading ahead in Patriarchs and Prophets to what we were studying last night. And on the last page, this is what it says. Like Israel, Christians too often yield to the influence of the world and conform to its principles and customs in order to secure the friendship of the ungodly. But in the end, it will be found that these professed friends are the most dangerous of foes. The Bible plainly teaches that there can be no harmony between the people of God and the world. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. 1 John 3:13. Our Savior says, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. John 15:18. Satan works through the ungodly, under cover of a pretended friendship, to allure God's people into sin, that he may separate them from him. And when their defense is removed, then he will lead his agents to turn against them and seek to accomplish their destruction. On June 26th of 2000, all Protestant and heathen religions proclaimed Pope John Paul II as head of all churches. And we know that Protestantism has fully conformed to the wishes of the current Pope. We have ministers in the SDA Church who are exposing the errors of the church, and yet they continue to say that his church will go through, and is convincing many that they just have to hold on. Stay within the ship. The ship is going through. And those who have fallen away will come back. And so it's a matter of study. It's a matter of prayer, to learn what the facts are. And we have prayed diligently because many are being deceived. Thank you.
That's true, dear sister. And thank you for sharing the quote there from Patriarchs and Prophets, and also that the churches have all united together. So we're definitely at the end of time, dear ones. And more people are going to be led to comprehend and understand the truth for these last days. And again, praise God for his word of life and for the Spirit leading and guiding us into all truth. And what more and more people are waking up to is that the Bible brings out the fact that it's the truth that makes the church. It's not the church that makes the truth. So if you follow the truth, you're following Jesus Christ. And in following him, you become part of his body, which is the church. So we become part of God's church by joining Christ, the truth, not by joining a denomination, but joining Christ, who is the truth. But the devil wants to get in there, and he wants to take you away from Christ as much as he can and gets you to look to a man instead of the Lord. And so he gets people to believe that it's by joining the church in membership that you become part of Christ's body. But that's just reversed. It's by joining Christ that you become part of his body and part of his church. So if the devil can put anyone between you and Christ, then he's got you. Because you're going to follow that mediator to get to Christ instead of going directly to Christ yourself. And that's why the Catholic Church teaches that you come to Christ through joining the church, or you have your sins forgiven by going through the priest. There has to be some mediator between you and Christ, and then you're going to follow that intermediary instead of Christ. So the Bible brings out that we can go directly to Christ ourselves for eternal life, for salvation. We don't have to go through a church in order to be saved. We go to Christ. And by joining Christ, we become part of his church, part of his body. And Christ is the only mediator between God and man. Not the church, not the pope, not the priests, not the ministers, just Christ. So amen, dear sister. And welcome, Brother Bob and Sister Bonnie. Glad to see that you made it in there, at least on the phone. We're glad to have you with us. And if you'd like to speak to the room or if you have questions or comments, hit *9 on your phone. And that will let us know that you want to speak to us, and then we'll release your mic. But glad that you're able to make it in, dear brother and sister. But are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any testimonies or songs or requests, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead. If any would like a copy of the Constantine Edict, as well as Sister White's vision of the same confiscation of property and so on taking place in the last days, just send me an email and I'll be glad to send you over the PDF copy of that.
Elder Rob, I know last Saturday I was supposed to share what it was that was shared the prior Saturday concerning the hands of Benedict, that you had said that I was supposed to share it for those that did not see it. And I was moved to place it in a better order so it won't be so confusing. If you give me a chance, dear ones, let me just... I have realized in my study that it wasn't a light thing what the beast wanted to do. I noticed that in my study that it wasn't a light thing that the enemy wanted to be able to not only portray that he was also a mediator, which he's not. It says pictures also speak. And it gives you a little bit of the insight, what is hidden in this garment. So I just titled it, Who is the Only True Mediator and the Redeemer of Life Eternal? And who is claiming to be one on earth, committing blasphemy? And by taking the look, now I can be able to show a little bit of side by side. If you notice, right here in the very center, at the very bottom of his garment, he carries a little pendant, kind of look like the breastplate that Jesus will carry upon his shoulder. Notice he has it hanging right in the very bottom. I found this quote, which we already know that the man of sin was to arise and do his work of exaltation and blasphemy. And the leaven of apostasy was to work with increasing power to the end of time, as we can see with the study that we just went through with Elder Rob. I found this in Review and Herald, July 31st, 1888. To read the whole section, it says, the man of sin was to arise and do his work of exaltation and blasphemy before the brethren could look for the coming of Christ. That great event was to be preceded by a falling away. There would be revealed a form of Antichrist, and the leaven of apostasy was to work with increasing power to the end of time. I wanted to also share another slide. This is the hand that I was sharing two Sabbaths ago. This sign is also known as the hands of Benedict. And it's male and female generated principle. This area right here is a pine cone. And if you are related to the Vatican, you're going to see one of the biggest pine cones that they do have. And in a lot of the staff that he carries, he uses a pine cone because he claimed that in him there is life. And we already know that that is not true. So we have to follow the hands that wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger will tell us what authority we are following as believers. Here we're going to see the sign of the order, which is also in the statue of Jupiter. And it tells you that they claim that this is supposed to be Peter, which if you notice, he has a key right in his hand, which they take the doctrine where it says that he has been given a key to be able to determine who can be able to stay in purgatory and who can go into heaven. But as we were speaking earlier, we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. All of these things is easier to be able to help people that are in the Catholic belief where these things originated. And we already know that this sign also, known also as the Hands of Benedict, is also 666, like our dear elder has shared with us. Here is a link where you can be able to be more familiar about also, where is our mediator mediating for us? Here, he claims that he mediating here on earth, contrary to the doctrine of present truth. But we know that Christ is in the most holy place, and he's mediating in a perfect plan with his own blood. He comes before the throne of his Father for us. Here, I don't know if anybody is familiar with the Panteón. Panteón in Spanish means the place where a lot of the dead is buried. The original building where they used, Rome used to have their temple, it was called Panteón. But it was really dedicated to all the gods. But do you know that all the area on the top here, if you look at the Vatican, it has a statue of all the popes that not only were, but some of them are even buried in this particular building. Everybody is going to worship at the Panteón, really, at the graveyard. So it is a very significant thing. And also we know that Christ is life, and the life is the light of man. As you can see, everything that he claimed to be, we can see plainly what are they worshiping. So what is in the view of our mediator? Christ is before the Father, pleading with his own blood for us. But when you go to these places of worship, they worship the dead. They even have all different furnitures dedicated to one of their believers, and they place their dead bodies, either an altar, pieces of bones is in the area where you actually take supposed to be the holy water. There are so many different things that they could be able to be seen what is being worshipped there. And that's the only thing that I wanted to share with the study that we had. Thank you.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. That was a wonderful presentation. And thank you for those images and pictures and the symbology there. And it's just amazing how much of ancient Babylon is still being lived and practiced today, especially in Catholicism. It's just amazing. The holy water that comes straight from Babylon. So it's quite amazing. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments or testimonies? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones?
Hello, dear brethren. I wanted to share like a short testimony, because during this week we have like a enormous proof sent by God. And well, the last Thursday I suffered like an accident. And well, I think that just by the grace of God, I am alive in this moment, and I have this opportunity to meet with you in this Sabbath. And also I wanted to thank you for all your support, your prayers, all those things that you have done for me. And thank you so much for all of you.
Well, you're very welcome, dear sister, and praise God that you're okay and safe, and that you weren't hurt worse, and that you're healing up quick, and we'll continue to keep you in prayer. And so glad to have you and the family with us as well. So praise God for his merciful kindness. There is a work that God has just for you to do, dear sister, and that's why you're still here. And he will empower you to fulfill your responsibilities to him and in furthering his cause. So praise God indeed. Well, there was a request for a hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Please join with me. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in the narrow way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Oh, have I to dread what I to fear, leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, all alarms, leaning on Jesus. Everlasting arms.
Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again, Jesus is coming again. Echo at hilltops, proclaim it, ye plains, Jesus is coming again. Coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again, Jesus is coming again. Heavings of earth tell the vast wandering throng, Jesus is coming again. Tempests and whirlwinds the anthem prolong, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again, Jesus is coming again. Nations, go ahead.
Nations are angry, by this we know, Jesus is coming again. No age increases, men run to and fro, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Amen. He is coming again. How sweet are the tidings that greet the pilgrim's ear as he wanders in exile from home. Soon, soon will the Savior in glory appear, and soon will the kingdom come. He's coming, coming, coming soon, I know. Coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior comes to reign.
The mossy old graves where the pilgrims sleep shall be open as wide as before, and the millions that sleep in the mighty deep shall live on this earth once more. He's coming, coming, coming soon, I know, coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior comes to reign.
Nos veremos allá en el nuevo Edén feliz. El adiós no diremos jamás, pues del norte y del sur los salvados llegarán a morar en el reino de paz. Si viene, viene, viene esto sé, a la tierra Jesús vendrá. Y los peregrinos a la gloria irán, a su reino el Señor los guiará.
Aleluya, amén, aleluya again. Soon if faithful we all shall be there. Oh, be watchful, be hopeful, be joyful, and then, and a crown of thy glory we wear. He's coming, coming, coming soon, I know, coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior comes to reign.
Amen. And won't that be a joyous time to see our Lord Jesus Christ coming in the clouds of heaven and hearing his silver trumpet and seeing him put the sickle in, and all the righteous dead will rise to meet the Lord in the air, and 144,000 in the special resurrection righteous will also ascend up and be with him and with our fellow redeemed forevermore. How sweet are those tidings of indeed. So thank you for that wonderful hymn. That was beautiful. Any other songs? Any other requests?
How about the Bible Stand?
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands, and it will forever when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands, every test we gave it for its authority by. Thy grace alone I expect to live it and to prove and to make it mine. The Bible stands, so the hills may tremble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Amen. Praise God for his word, truly divine. Are there any other songs, requests, testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share, comments, questions? Please go right ahead, dear ones. I love singing hymns.
Do you have 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus?
Yes, let me get that for you.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Es muy dulce fiar en Cristo y cumplir su voluntad, no dudando su palabra, siempre andando en la verdad. Cristo, Cristo, cuánto te amo, tu poder probaste. Cristo, Cristo, puro y santo, siempre quiero fiar en ti.
Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest
and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall enclose and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready my heart thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Open my mouth and let me be gladness, the one truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready my God thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine.
O Word of God incarnate, O wisdom from on high, O truth unchanged, unchanging, O light of our dark sky, we praise thee for the radiance that from the hallowed page a lantern to our footsteps shines on from age to age. The church from her dear master receive the gift divine. And still that light she lifteth o'er all the earth to shine. It is the golden treasure where gems of truth are stored. It is the heaven-drawn picture of Christ the living Word. It floateth like a banner before God's host unfurled. It shineth like a beacon above the darkling world. It is the chart and compass mid mist and rocks, and quicksands still guide, O Christ, to thee. O make thy church, dear Savior, a lampstand of pure gold, to bear before the nations thy light that all behold. O teach thy wandering pilgrims by this their path to trace, till clouds and darkness ended, they see thee face to face. Amen.
Could we have a special prayer? I thought my daughter had confirmation of a transfer to another job, but she just told me today that that is not certain. So could we just pray that God intervenes and keeps her in this new job that she just accepted?
Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that we can come to thee in any time of need. And Father, we bring before thy throne through Jesus' name the situation there with Sister Cindy. We pray that thy perfect will be done, and if it is thy will that she is transferred to this much better position, that you will work it out, that Satan will not be allowed to do anything in any way to prevent it, and that it will be even better than her expectations are. Thank you so much that it's in your hands and there's nothing to worry about, because thy perfect will be accomplished. We claim Job 5:12, Psalms 33:10, Psalms 140 verse 8, Proverbs 22:12, 10:24, and 21:1, that Satan will not be allowed to do anything in any way against thy will in this matter. And thank you for the peace and the comfort this gives us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay down nearby, temptation lose dear bow, when thou art nigh. I need thee, all I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
I need
thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, all life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. come to thee.
I need thee every hour. Teach me thy will and thy rich promises in me fulfill. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Necesito ya, bendito Salvador, me infunde dulce paz, tu tierna voz de amor. Te necesito, Cristo, sí, te necesito. Con corazón concreto acudo a ti. Te necesito ya, tú no me dejarás. Yo siempre venceré si tú conmigo estás. Te necesito, Cristo, sí, te necesito, con corazón concreto, acudo a ti. Te necesito ya. Tu santa voluntad y tu promesa es mío, en ti cumplo verdad. Te necesito, Cristo, sí, te necesito. Con corazón contrito, acudo a ti. Te necesito, Señor, tuyo hazme nada más. Bendito Salvador, te necesito, Cristo, sí, te necesito, con corazón concreto, acudo a ti.
Amén. Redeem how I love to proclaim it. Redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeem, redeem. Redeem by the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, yes.
redeem. His child and forever I am. Redeem, I'm so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me does continually dwell. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, His child and forever I am.
Amen.
Amen. I'll go ahead and share it with someone as well.
My blessed Redeemer.
I think of him all day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is my theme of my song. Redeem, redeem. Redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem. Redeem. His child forever I am.
I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansions for me. And soon with the saints made perfect, at home with the Lord I will be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am.
I know this a crown that is waiting yonder bright mansion for me. And soon with the saint made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. Redeemed. He shall and forever I am.
Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Perfect submission, perfect delight, vision of rapture that bursts on my side. Angels descending, ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song.
praise in my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praise in my Savior all the day long.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Amen.
Can you guys play Jesus Loves Me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones who him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, he just loves me. Yes, he just loves me. Yes, he just loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died. Heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sins. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, that I know. As he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, loves me still. When I'm very weak and ill, from his shining throne on high comes to watch me where I lie. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. He's prepared a home for me, and someday his face I'll see. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
for the Bible tells me so. Thank you.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin-dressed way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than millions of flaws. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin-dressed way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of the river's bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin-dressed way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world's afford today.
Amen. Appreciate all the hymns and the singing. It's wonderful, very uplifting. And thank you so much. Are there any other songs? Really don't want to close the service, so please feel free.
We'd like to sing the hymn More About Jesus. Happen to have it. More about Jesus I would know, more of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus makes me
in his word. Ah, I'm sorry.
More about Jesus let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be. showing the things
the Christ to me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus in his word. Holding communion with my Lord. Hearing his voice in every line. Making his faithful saving mine. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me.
More about Jesus.
Just on his throne.
Riches and glory.
He's on his own. More of his kingdom show his grace. More of his coming Prince of Peace.
More about Jesus.
More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the soul of man? Oh, you rescue the soul of man. The Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope in our hearts. Hopelessly lost away. Oh, we're hopelessly lost away.
Amen!
You're the one that we praise. You're the one we adore. You give the healing hearts always hunger for. Oh, hearts always hunger for.
And I'll share the last verse with you.
Almighty infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Are we falling before your throne? You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Last one, I promise.
I come to the garden alone. While to do is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear. The Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. Gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Amen.
I need the prayers of those I love while traveling all life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempest so long, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love to help me in this trying hour, to bear my tempted soul to him, that he may keep me by his power. I want
my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempest and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me up and wings of faith, that I may walk the narrow way. Keep my Father's glorious ways. I want my friends to pray for me, to beg my tempest solemn, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love.
Amen. And you have my prayers, and thank you for your prayers for me and mine. And we will definitely keep you, dear sister, in our prayers, that your headache will lessen, and that the fever that Sister Emma is battling will decrease, and that it will not get worse or spread to the rest of the family. The dear ones, it's been a wonderful church service today, and thank you so much for your part in making it so, and especially for our Godhead being here to bless us. And indeed, may we praise them more and more. So have a wonderful Sabbath. The rest of it, at least, dear ones, a wonderful new week, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you again. And before Brother Dick signs us off, I have a scripture song that I'd like to sing with you. It's Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs, yes, all your needs, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs, yes, all your needs. Philippians 4:19. And he will indeed. Okay, Brother Dick.
I'm getting you a joke. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.